Today we're going to go to Revelation chapter 19. Last week we finished up chapter 18. So tonight it's going to be Revelation chapter 19. Before we begin here, I want to just kind of do a little bit of a review on Mystery Babylon and the apostate church. Just a few things listed out here. If you want to write them down, go for it. I have a few scripture references here as well. But I believe that we're living in a time of apostasy. I believe we're living in a time of a great falling away, even from the faith. Does anybody see that beside myself? There's a great pull right now, a great pull from hell on God's people, especially the young and the vulnerable and the weak, to pull them out and to destroy them, to separate them from the flock, to get God's people offended. And so there is a falling away. Sometimes it's due to the fact that we are drowned in perdition through the lusts of the flesh and the world and the allurements of this present life. And you know, there's a couple here that I feel God has allowed some things to happen in your life that at times you've been really questioning and asking God why like this. We're doing everything we know to do right. We're sowing, we're doing this, we're trying to be faithful. But and I just feel this is a word for you, and it's this, that God is preparing you for the ministry that you're going to be involved with. And that's why you're experiencing this, and you're learning how to get by with a little bit right now and to be faithful in a little bit, so that you're going to be able to, from your assignment, you're going to begin to operate and be able to find contentment in the Lord and even draw your anointing and your provision from God. And in that situation, because God's going to use you, I believe, to build churches. So if that bears witness with anybody, receive it, okay? I'm talking about planting a church. All right. We've got a lot of ideas of what we think we should do. And I'm not talking about like immediately, but this is something that God is getting you ready for. But we've got ideas of what we think we want to do for God. I've had a lot of ideas of what I think I want to do for God. And sometimes what God is asking me to do, I don't really want to do, so I'll find a second best thing that it fits for me and it's a little more comfortable. But what He's really asking me to do, again, is to put myself in a place where now I'm going to be vulnerable to these things that I really detest about being in that assignment before. Now, I don't know if that bears witness with anybody, but I'm just saying that sometimes we want to kind of pull away from something that we're not really comfortable with, but we know God is leading us into. Jonah was one who had tried to run away from his calling. But God has a way of just keep bringing it back and bringing it back and reminding us, this is what I've really called you to do. So it's a matter of obedience, obeying the Lord and getting there. Sometimes it's we're in a process or a time of being restored, okay, so that we can be able to bear up under the next level of challenge that will come with our assignment. I hope I didn't make that too complicated. That's what it came to me, so that's the best I could do. Thank you, Jesus. Folks, I believe here you, and I'm not saying this out of flattery, but this is the bride. This is the remnant right here, the remnant church. And a Gideon's army that God is just getting a people ready. There's more of us, but I mean, God is getting a people together for something that's going to be happening here in the days ahead. It's called harvest. I mean, we've been plowing, we've been sowing, we've been watering, we've been praying for God to move. And how many know that God is answering that prayer? Amen, those prayers. So He's refining and positioning us. And so we don't look by sight. Amen, we don't walk by sight. But we are going to believe God for the assignment He's given us, the vision He's given us, that we are going to be a church that is not only going to reach into, you know, our Jerusalem and Samaria, and I believe even we're going to be planting within the States, but I believe, again, with an international vision for church planting as well. This is coming. And God's not in a hurry. Frank says that a lot. God is not in a hurry. So it's a matter of being patient in the process as God is getting things put together and getting things in order. And that means me too. I have to be patient in the process. I got to be very careful. I'm not jumping ahead of God. I have a tendency. I'm a zealous kind of person, as you probably didn't realize, but now you know. Yeah. But you know, my zeal is not of flesh. It's of Him. I can't help it. It's like fire in my bones. So, you know, it's God who works in all of us, both to will and to do. That drive in you that says, this is my passion, this is what I love, this is what I want to do for Jesus. Because, you know, when you're not a believer, you don't want to do anything for Jesus anyways. Right? You want to do your own thing. But when Christ is working in you, you have a desire to do a certain, there's a certain passion that you have that really, it's your motivating force. Pay attention to that, where your passion is. That's where your calling's at. But the apostate church, the last days church, I believe, when we talk about church, we're not talking about the called out ones, the true church. We're talking about a counterfeit or a whore church. And we've talked about this before. There is right now a movement called the interfaith movement of the different faiths, the different religions, the different churches that are all mingling together and trying to have some type of unity and cohesiveness. Usually it centers on human welfare, you know, meeting needs, world peace, these types of things. And who doesn't want world peace? Who doesn't want to take care of their fellow man? These are not bad things. The problem is that Christ is not in the equation. And they have eliminated the cross of Jesus Christ in order to do that, because the cross is a stumbling block. Amen? And the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. And so we must remember that all must come through the way. All must come through the blood. Amen? Of the sacrificed lamb, through Jesus Christ only is their salvation in Him and none other. So one of the characteristics, number one, of this apostate church is that they will reject sound teaching. Now, we all like feel-good messages. We all like to feel good. It's natural, right? To want to feel good. God wants us to make Him our feel-good. To find our pleasure, our joy, our fulfillment, our peace, right? All to be found in His presence. Tonight we've been enjoying just the presence of the Lord, the richness of His grace as we have worshiped together, as we are here to worship in spirit and truth. And it's wonderful, His glory in this house. How many know the Lord is very present here? We are surrounded with the glory and the presence, and the holy angels that do His bidding are here with us. And so 2 Timothy 4:3-4 talks about this, that the time will come when men will not endure sound teaching. You know, they'll have itching ears. They'll turn away from the truth, and they'll want to be, you know, be told what they want to hear. And you know, you find it in every circle today. And sometimes, folks, you know, it's something that you say that, I'll follow Christ as long as it looks like this. How many know that's an idolatrous heart? When we put conditions on the will of God, we will only bow down to such a degree. We'll give God this, but He can't have that. I like that scripture because it feels good. But I don't want to be told that I'm wrong. Heaven forbid that I should be corrected. So one of the characteristics, really, of this church is going to be that they're not going to receive the truth, a love of the truth, that they might truly be saved. And so what it amounts to is these folks have a rebellious heart. Now, I have rebelled against the word of the Lord before, have you?
Yeah.
So I don't want to be pointing my hand out as long as I'm first pointing at me and say, now, does that apply to me? Do I have a rebellious heart? God, root out of me any rebellion at all. I don't want any rebellion in my heart. I want to be fully committed, fully abandoned to your will and to your way. My life is not my own. I've been bought with the precious blood of Christ. I am his property, and I'm going to serve him wholeheartedly. I'm going to surrender my life. Why? Because it's not mine anyways. It's his. We've been purchased. So we've got to be very careful about being selective, as if we come to the Word of God as a smorgasbord and say, I like this and I'll have a little of that, but I don't care for that. And so it's like a child that wants to eat just dessert. Yeah. It may taste good, but it'll make you sick after a while. You're not getting the balance. Another characteristic will be, this church will be materially rich, but spiritually poor. We see that in Revelation 3:17, where the Spirit speaks of the church of Laodicea, you know, the lukewarm church, where they didn't realize their true condition, and they had much riches, and they often, what happens in the trap of riches is, it's not always the case, but it can be. It's a temptation to start to trust, you know, in bank accounts. And man, I struggle with it. We all do. But God wants us to learn how to truly draw our substance, everything we need from him. And I believe it's often when we get to that place, then God, if it be in his will, it will allow you more because you've been found faithful in little. And sometimes it's a matter of, you know, isn't there a tendency when we have a little bit to kind of hold back? You know, because I don't have much, so I hold back. Rather than do the opposite, which is to sow in faith. It's a tough one sometimes, you know, because we got to step out. It's beyond us. It's now in God's hands. We've talked about this many times. You know this very well. The boy with the fishes and the loaves had to sow what he had into Jesus' hands to be blessed. And I'm not talking about taking an offering tonight, by the way. Number three, the apostate church will be full of people who follow their own sinful desires. And of course, we see that. We'll follow Christ as long as I get to do this. Or, yeah, I'll agree with that. I've talked to people and they've said, yeah, oh yeah, we know Jesus, yeah. And that they could even quote the scriptures. They could even tell you, you know, the plan of salvation. It's amazing. And yet they're going out and they're committing, you know, fornication or adultery, or they're, you know, they're getting high on dope, and they're just living like the world. Do you find anything wrong with that? Yeah. Yeah, there's a disconnect there, something. You know, Jesus said, if you love me, that's right, you obey me, right? Another condition will be they'll have a form of godliness, but will deny the true power of God, 2 Timothy 3:5. You know? And that word power is dunamis, and we see that also, that there are those who have a form even of Christianity, who it's all based upon human wisdom, human understanding, human ability. They have programs and they have everything set up to function just right, and on the surface it all looks so good and so family oriented, you know, and they even walk around with nice white shirts and black pants, and they wear badges and they give them esteeming titles. And but even within the charismatic church, within, you know, the mainline denominations, the same thing happens, doesn't it? Now, there are those who they don't believe in the power of God. It's like, why bother? What do you have? Come on. What is your faith in? My faith is in a living, resurrected Christ. Amen?
Amen.
My faith is in the living God. He's alive.
Yes.
He sent his Holy Spirit here. He's given us power so that we could be effective. and representing Him in the earth. We need the power of God. We must be filled with the Holy Spirit. Another condition will be a loss of love, a loss of the first love, really. You know, we got to be very careful. We don't allow our love to grow cold. And we don't allow bitterness and offense to come in and destroy us. We can lose what we have. How many know that's true? You can lose what you have. God help us. God protect us. God deliver us. God help us to do the right thing. Folks, when people hurt you, pray for them. Keep praying for them. Every time you think about them, pray for them. Bless them. Keep it off you. Amen? Don't let it get in. The devil's always trying to allow stuff to get in me. Because he knows if he can poison me, he's going to poison a lot of people. Especially if I have to get up and I have to talk to you, that you're going to be receiving of my spirit. Amen? And not only myself, but you also. If we allow these things, we go around and we start to poison. You know, our spirit becomes poisonous and we begin to poison others. So we've got to be very careful that we just don't allow that thing. Just get it out, confess it, release the people, forgive them in the name of Jesus. Amen. And if it comes, the devil tries to throw it back at you, just say no thank you and begin to bless them. And you know, if you keep blessing that person, you know what the devil does? He says, I better leave them alone because they're blessing them instead. Are you with me?
Yeah.
You see, we're actually defeating evil by overcoming it with good. Why? Because he'll back off then. He doesn't want you to pray for that person. All right. Another condition will be a rejection. We read that in Revelation chapter 18, verses 7 through 24, about a rejection of God's true prophets as well. There are false prophets and there are true prophets. Amen? And we know that one is speaking by the Spirit of Christ. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus has come in the flesh, amen, is of God. Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That He was the Word that became flesh. Amen. The eternal God. God the Son, second person of the Trinity. That He came for our redemption as the last Adam. He restored us, hallelujah, to Father God. Now, it's true that, again, with this rejection of prophets, we're talking about when the true word comes. You know, sometimes it's hard for our hearts to receive, you know, to grasp a hold of it. And but we've got to be lovers of the truth. We've got to be lovers of the truth. Another characteristic of this apostate church, they will deceive the nations. Folks, I want to suggest to you that to some degree, especially out of America, we have had so many Christians that have gone out into the nations from this country that have done a lot of good. They've planted church, they've sown in the harvest field. But then there are also others who have corrupted and polluted many with false doctrines. And this false apostate church is going to be part of that church that compromises with the world, that compromises with the religions of the world, as if they all lead to the same God. Well, guess what? For I heard it said, but all roads do lead to God. Amen? But there's only one road that leads to eternal life. And that's through Jesus Christ. Amen? Because everybody's going to bow their knee to Him. Amen. And this church will also be filled with fornication, evil, sorcery. We know also we're talking about the system, the world system, that is under the power of Antichrist, this commercial Babylon. And it's going to also be characterized by compromising to avoid persecution as well. Has anybody ever been tempted to bow down to peer pressure, lest you should be separated out and labeled as one of them, followers of Jesus? Yeah. God help us to understand, to get it. Verse 1 of chapter 19. After these things, now we see a shift in heaven. I hear a loud voice of a great multitude in heaven saying, Alleluia, salvation and glory and honor and power to the Lord our God. For true and righteous are his judgments, because he has judged the great harlot who corrupted the earth with her fornication, and he has avenged on her the blood of his servants shed by her. Again they said, Alleluia, and her smoke rises up forever and ever. And the 24 elders and the four living creatures fell down and worshiped together God who sat on the throne, saying, Amen, Alleluia. So what's happening? While there's mourning going on earth, there's celebration going on in heaven. How many know that heaven is not bummed out? Amen? There's happiness in heaven. But they're rejoicing for what reason? Because those who had persecuted them are now being avenged by God. Their judgment has come. And so there's celebration in heaven. And in Revelation 6:10, we also read where the martyrs are crying out, saying, How long, O Lord, holy and true, until you judge and avenge our blood? So this was a cry of those who had been martyred for their testimony of Jesus. And so now the time had come. God had poured out his judgment on the wicked. He destroyed this harlot church. He avenged the blood of the martyrs. Then a voice came from the throne saying, Praise our God, all you his servants, and those who fear him, both small and great. How many know, even in heaven, there are choir leaders, amen? There are praise leaders. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, as the sound of many waters, and as the sound of mighty thundering, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent, or almighty, reigns. That word omnipotent means the one who holds all things in his control. How many know that heaven is a place of tremendous praise? And nothing is beyond God's control. Aren't you glad? And we can find comfort in the fact that God is on the throne, that God is with us, that God is for us. God has us in the palm of his hand. It doesn't matter how you feel. He loves you with an everlasting love. With tender mercies, he drew you. Amen. He purchased you with the blood of Christ. You're his possession. God has you, and you don't have to worry about the future. You don't have to worry about a thing. Because God is with you. God is for you. You know, when we understand the fact that Jesus Christ has all authority, amen, in heaven and earth, we can find comfort in that knowledge that my God, no matter what happens, my God is there and my God is the one on the throne. I have to look and just say, Jesus, you see it. My life is yours, you know. I know that you're going to turn everything around, work everything out for my good in the end. So whatever you experience, whatever you suffer in this world, just trust in the Lord. And trust in the Lord with all your heart. This multitude was just praising God. They were together. The redeemed, I believe, and the hosts of heaven were rejoicing because they had been delivered by God. He had finally come to their aid. He had brought justice. And I just want to say this, folks, again, but we don't often talk about the justice of God. We like to talk about the grace, and the grace of God is important. But how many know that God is a God of justice too? And if we were to go to an unjust judge and say, avenge me of mine adversaries, don't you think that our God will take care of our enemies too? Jesus taught us to go to God, to go to Father, with the issues that we come, not just the people, I'm talking about the spiritual hosts that are against us. And they will use people against us. But we're not praying curses on people. We are praying that God will avenge us of our spiritual adversaries or enemies. Yeah. That he will restore to us seven or threefold. Amen. I pray for sevenfold. Amen. He's a God of justice. Isn't that right, Frank? In the Old Testament, if a man would steal, he was to restore what? Threefold in some cases. In other cases, sevenfold he'd have to restore what was stolen. So when we go to Papa God about our devil adversary and his demons, and when they steal from you, I want you to start praying, God, you see it? I'm asking you to give me justice against my adversaries. And Lord, make them pay me back sevenfold. Watch what starts to happen. Because Papa God wants to avenge you. But he has to do it. If you try to avenge yourself, so you can abort that. If we start getting into a, you know, calling down curses on each other, that's not good. We don't do that. We bless and curse not. So this great celebration is taking place. And then a voice, verse 5, from the throne saying, "Praise our God, all you servants, and those who fear him, both small and great." And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, as the sound of many waters, and as the sound of mighty thundering, saying, "Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigns." Yeah. Amen? Yeah. Now, things are beginning to shift here. In verse 7, now there is this marriage supper of the Lamb. This is going to be the celebration of celebrations. It's a long-awaited, glorious event. Jesus, amen, and His bride being brought together in completeness. The time has come for which our Lord Jesus and our heavenly bridegroom has patiently waited for. That is when you and I, amen, will all be together with Him in that day. In the celebration, as we have come into covenant through His blood as His bride, we have been espoused to Christ. Now comes the time when we will celebrate together with our bridegroom, Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And they said, "Let us be glad and rejoice and give Him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and His wife has made herself ready. And to her it was granted to be arrayed in fine linen, clean and bright. For the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints." Ah. How many know that God is the one who provides righteousness, right? Yeah. The linen, amen, the righteousness is the righteousness of Christ, folks. It is the righteous works that we have done in obedience to the Spirit. Those things that we have done in obedience to the Spirit of Christ are the things that will be rewarded for. It will actually give us a beauty. There will be a glory that we'll receive as a result of our obedience to Christ. I believe we are receiving a glory. Did not Jesus pray in John 17? "Father, that they may have the glory which you gave me." So you're not stealing something if God's going to give it to you.
Amen.
He prayed for His disciples that they might receive His glory. For what purpose? Not to glorify themselves, but to glorify Him.
That's right.
But He wants to give His bride His glory. Amen? To make her glorious. A glorious bride without spot or wrinkle. Made holy. Purified. Washed in the blood of the Lamb. Clothed in His righteousness. So they're clothed not in their own righteousness, right? And let me just say this, that this complete union of Christ and His church, His bride, is not a denomination, right? We knew that. It's not the Catholic Church either. But His very own people, that's you and I. Now Isaiah 64 and 6 says this, "But we all are like an unclean thing, and all of our righteousnesses are like filthy rags." Yeah. So when we are self-righteous and we trust in ourselves as being righteous, it don't amount to anything to God. The reason why Jesus went to the cross is because we're unrighteous. And we don't have anything to bring to Him. We can't come before Him because He's holy. So He has to prepare us to come before Him. And He does that through the washing of the blood and the water of the Word. Amen. And the garments of righteousness that He places upon us. Even now, we can receive and enjoy a wonderful relationship with Jesus, right? But in the days ahead, folks, we're going to see the full revelation. I mean, we all want that now. I know I do. But we're going to have to be patient. Amen. And yet, there is an ongoing situation right now, I believe, called sanctification. All right? Has anybody finished here besides myself? Yeah. I'm the only one finished here? Or okay. How about this? Are we complete in Christ?
Yes.
We're complete in Christ, right? So when God looks upon us, I don't know, what does He see? He sees righteousness. Why? Because He sees the blood. If it wasn't for the blood, we couldn't pray, we couldn't come before Him, we'd be toast. First Corinthians 13:12 says, "For now we see in a mirror dimly." It's like looking in those old mirrors that were cloudy, and they were, you know, you couldn't really see a very clear image of yourself. Ever try to look in a brass mirror or anything like that, or just in the reflection of metal? It's not a clear picture. That's what he's saying, is that right now we don't have a full picture. We have a dim picture of who we are, and what we're going to be is going to be revealed in fullness when you and I are united in that day in His presence. Amen. At that time of our union, our marriage reunion with Christ. And when Jesus lifted up the cup in communion, remember, he says, "I'm going away." He said, "But I will drink of this cup again with you." Where? In my Father's kingdom. So when we get there, guess what? We're going to have that time, hallelujah, around the table with Jesus, all of us, all the saints. And we're looking forward to that day. And because He's gone away, we know that He is preparing a place for us, right? And in the meantime, He wants His bride to be beautiful and to be ready for that day. So we're going to fully know in that time. Now, even Paul himself, after he had been walking with Jesus for years, his prayer in Philippians 3:10 was that I may know Him. It was still that I may know Him. You know, I have to be careful. We have to be careful that we don't say, when somebody says, "Do you know Jesus?" Say, "Oh yeah, I know Jesus." Really, we're getting to know Jesus. I mean, to know Jesus is like, wow. But we're getting to know Him more and more and more, and we're changing into His likeness as we seek Him. We're being changed into His likeness. And so throughout the Word, you see marriage is an analogy to express the intimate relationship we have between, you know, our Lord and ourselves. And in Hosea 2:19, the Lord said, you see it here, "I will betroth to you to me forever. Yes, I will betroth you to me in righteousness and justice and loving kindness and mercy." It means a marriage. Of course, He was speaking of Israel, but He also speaks of others in that same passage. Others such as you and I, the Gentiles, who would also come into faith, the faith of Abraham. Ephesians 5:25, "Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for her." Here it is, the marriage. Amen. 2 Corinthians 11:2, "For I am jealous," Paul said, over his people, "for you with godly jealousy. For I have betrothed you to one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ." God is calling His people to rekindle the fire, the flame of love for Him. Amen? To be one with Him, where we want to tell everybody how much Jesus means to us. How many know that we need an excitement and a growing passion for the Lord? You will pursue God only when you are passionate for God. You will find God if you are passionately pursuing Him. When you encounter Him, amen? When we have encounters with Him, it will inspire even more your zeal and your passion for Him. because you cannot encounter Him. You cannot know Him to the degree that you do without having a desire for more of Him. How many have found the Lord to be so good? So desirable. That when you're tasting and you're seeing how good He is, if you stay in that and abide in that, you'll want more of Him. If you allow yourself to go out, if you allow your fire to go out, if you disconnect, if you allow other things to come in and take you away to distract you, then before you know it, you can become like that loveless church, you know, that has been very busy doing all kinds of, you know, activities and things for God, but we have lost something in the mix. We have lost Jesus. I don't want to ever get so busy that, you know, I lose Jesus, the one who it's all about. It's not all about just doing stuff and being active, folks. It's important that we're active. But it's really ultimately about you and I having intimate relationship with the living God. Yes. To be worshipers in spirit and in truth. And then out of that, ministry results. You're just going to get fired up and you're going to get busy. The opposite is where people are, through their busyness and their works, are trying to somehow earn a place with God. There's a balance. Does that sound confusing? Well, it can be. I think we've all, if we're honest about it, been caught up in the works mentality. Just do, you know? We got caught in the do-do. But we can be doing and busy for God and doing so many things that we're just, all of a sudden we realize that, hey, I've disconnected. Somehow I lost Jesus in all this. And now I'm just like I'm doing a job. I mean, no, we're not supposed to be working for God. We're supposed to be walking with God. That's the difference. I want to walk with the Lord. I don't want to be doing a lot of good things working for God and miss Him. I want to walk with Him and hear His voice and do what He says. Whether anybody appreciates it or not or understands what I'm doing or their expectations of me are not what I live up to. Has anybody ever, have you ever had that happen where people have expectations of you, you know, and you feel somehow pressured to live up to their expectation of you? It's gotten quiet. I don't know. Maybe. I'm faced with it all the time. Am I going to please people or am I going to please God? If we change the way we do things because God says change it, and people are going to get upset because you change the way we always do things, here comes the real test of our obedience, doesn't it? Who we really love. If we love people, we'll obey God. We have to love people enough to say, I'm sorry, I can't do that. God didn't tell me to do that. I can't be who you think I should be. I can only be who I am in Christ. And if I try to be who you think I should be, I'm just going to be a hypocrite. I'm going to be acting out a life you think I should live. Or I'm going to try to be a person you think I should be. So we have to be strong, don't we? We have to just be firm in the result that I'm going to obey the will of God. And sometimes it's costly to do so. But whatever you invest, whatever you give up, whatever you may seem to lose because you obeyed God, He will turn that around in the end. He will bless you abundantly far and beyond. Amen. And even in this life, there's going to be things that we're going to just have to scrap because they're hindering us. Amen. In our walk. But God in eternity will reward the faithful ones who weren't just busy doing a lot of good stuff, but the ones who heard His voice and did what He said. And they would not listen to another unless that voice was Him speaking. Because God does speak to us, doesn't He? I'm just going to finish with this thought, folks. We're looking forward to a day we shall see Jesus and all of His glory. there is going to be a marriage supper of the Lamb. And we get to be a part of that. I believe it's also what Jesus was referring to when he says, "For those who serve me now in this world, the day will come when you will sit down at my table. I will gird myself and serve you." Can you imagine? We're all saying, "Oh Lord," we're like Peter, "Oh Lord, don't serve me." But how many know that Jesus' heart is to love and to serve? And that's why we do the same. We love and we serve. And we serve because we love. If the love of Christ doesn't master us, the love of the world will win out.